Taking a ball peen hammer to my nether regions, 42%. Donald Trump, 41%. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Oh, I'll get to Trump with we'll get to the Trumper with the Steiner coming up a little bit later on. Jeff Stein will join us to do our national and presidential update on a Wednesday. But it is Eric and myself. Hello, Eric. How are you, my friend?
Hello. I'm doing well.
Have you been able to get outside at all? Because yesterday was cold, but today it's just brilliant. I mean, this for me right now. What is it, like 70?
Yeah.
And it's nice. It's got a nice little breeze out there. This is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I am one of those psychopaths that you take me out and it gets into 85 degrees. I'm like, my God, what is wrong with you people?
Yeah, I'm the opposite.
You like the
90s and humid, 100% humidity. I love
what are you
swamp
doing
weather.
Here? You could go to Missouri. I know why you're not in Missouri. I mean, coastal South Carolina. Why aren't you down there, man?
I don't know. I ask myself that all the time.
All righty. Well, I think we can put a pod together and get you out of here. No. Good to have you here. Sorry you're struggling. 952-946-6205. You know who isn't struggling is the USA women's soccer team, who dominated in the first game of the World Cup for them, Thailand. A soccer score, mind you, 13-0.
Yeah, I saw that. Incredible.
It is incredible, and you can't deny the fact that the U.S. team is really good. I mean, that is the case. And also, if you don't understand, in this tournament, it's a goal aggregate. So if you tie with someone, whoever has the most goals, whether plus or minus, is the would win the tiebreaker. So you try to score.
Mm-hmm.
I was very critical. I have taken a little bit of grief from some people out there who are accusing me of being anti-woman because I'm critical not of the scores. I understand why you ran up the score on Thailand. And the United States team is not responsible for Thailand being atrocious. Although I will say this. You can't find a better team than Thailand? I mean, it's
who's making those brackets?
Exactly. I mean, there's got to be – I'm sorry. I mean, that Thailand clearly doesn't belong there. They're a college team playing the U.S.'s best players. And a college team at best, probably a Division II college team. And they got throttled. That is not the U.S.'s responsibility, and nor should they stop trying to score. But once you get past 10, tone down the celebration a little bit. Seriously, what are you doing? I mean, it represents America too well to be up and acting like, yeah, man, in your face. It's a very Revenge of the Nerds moment as this, poor Thailand goalie is picking herself off the ground and everyone's high-fiving as she's down 11-0. Her spirit crushed, her soul crushed. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you don't try to score. But do you really need to celebrate the 12th and 13th goals like you just won the cup itself, for God's sakes? Dear Lord, there's people that are getting upset that people are being critical of this. And they're saying, would you be like this for a men's team? Well, first of all, no, absolutely I would. I 100% would absolutely be the same exact way. I went back and looked at the men's games. The worst I found was Portugal beat North Korea one year. Was it 7-0? And Portugal's a perennial powerhouse. Mm-hmm. North Korea was one of those teams that basically just won a round robin and got in. But this generally does not, happen where you have such a lopsided score. But is there anything more American than running up the score on these people, celebrating like you've just won the freaking Super Bowl, and then when people say, whoa, maybe you shouldn't be celebrating, acting as if we were in the right, we should have kept scoring, it's all like this, it's all yours, we're the victim, stop making us the victim. Yeah, you're the victim, you scored 13 goals on Thailand, yeah, you're the victim. No, this is not, the fact that your reaction is, how dare you criticize us? You would never say this if there was the men's team. I would 100% say this is the men's team because this is just jackass. And I'm sorry, that's just jackass. To be out there high-fiving and giving massive hugs and celebrating. I mean, if the goal is to increase your sport in the United States, mission accomplished. if your goal is to advance your sport worldwide, well, you did far more damage than you did good yesterday. Thailand's team will never recover. I don't think Thailand will. I mean, how many countries right now are saying, what's the point of us even trying to put out a team if all that's going to happen? Is all we're going to do is, you know, do you think any girls in Thailand are looking up to their team and they get throttled here? No. You've done more damage to the sport. I mean, I understand, once again, you don't try to stop scoring, but you get the goal, 11th goal, a few high fives, take the ball back to the center, maybe put in all your, you know, well, I think they actually had put in all their reserves at that point. But, you know, still, come on. You know, it's just, I don't think the celebration needs to be there.
After the 12th goal, how are they still so excited?
Exactly. Isn't this great? We're the great. We're destroying them. And you want to know the truth is, you were jerks when then you went up and then congratulated the other team. You were, but that's America. You were everything America is on display. A juggernaut powerhouse of a sports team just being a jerk and then acting like, well, you're the jerk for pointing out what we did. You know, come on. No, it's. I hope, first of all, I hope the competition gets better. I mean, it's people like to say, well, the women don't get paid the same amount the men do. I think that is a problem. But if this is, you know, most of the worst teams at the men's game are still losing only 1-0 or 2-0, not 13-0 on a regular basis, which is basically a scrimmage game at this point. I just think that when you look at what was, it just unintentionally was everything we are. My daughter played soccer, and when she first started playing, she was playing on a field. I mean, this is when she was young. This is my oldest daughter. And I think she was like 7, and we're out playing, and of course this one kid comes on out for the other team, and she's already dressed like she's playing for Manchester United. You know, she's got all the gear, all the fancy shin guards, the cleats, and everything like that. And up until this point, this was supposed to be like a little friendly league. It's just kind of introductory to soccer for kids. And here comes Pele Jr., who basically, you know, proceeds to kind of just go around and kick and all this stuff. My daughter at the end of that game goes up to her and says, "Wow, you're really good. Nice game." She goes, "I don't shake hands with losers." This is a 7-year-old. Seriously, my daughter was like, "What in the world was that?" She was crying in the car. She's like this. I said, "Next week, go take care of business." The next week we go on out there, they played the same exact team. Girl comes on out, takes the ball. My daughter just goes out, takes the ball, starts scoring at freaking will. Just goal after goal. No celebration, no nothing. She goes, kicks the goal, or she herself goes and gets the ball, takes the ball back to the center goal for the kickoff and says, "Go." And just sits there and torments this girl. Just not celebrating, just saying, "Okay, fine. You want to be like this? Fine. Let me show you what I can do." Score, 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 score. And at the end of the game, Evelyn went up to this girl and she goes, "Good game." Shook her hand. The other girl just kind of lifted her arm up slowly, shook Evelyn's hand, didn't say a thing, and turned. And you could tell she was just kind of bawling. And I said to Evelyn, I said, "Well, you didn't say anything bad." She goes, "Nope, I didn't. I didn't celebrate. I didn't do anything. I went out and played." And, you know, we as Americans, I have been knee deep in this crap for, 12 years now, with this intensity that we have towards our sports, that we have people who are almost getting into fist fights over 8-year-old softball games, 10-year-old hockey matches, that are people who are swearing at coaches, swearing at referees. This is who we are, that people who are running up the score will come on up and taunt the other side of the audience as they're running. Clearly, especially when it's clear that this other team is of no threat to this other squad. But they'll just, you know, come on out and taunt. And then when you say, "Well, that's unjustified," you say, "Well, then don't play the game." And you're just, that is America. So as we get ready to go into the World Cup, I can't think of a better example of what the United States is than a team running up the score to 13-0. And although that I will stand once again by the score being 13-0, and that's justified because once again it's goal aggregate, the reality is the celebration, that was pure Americana. That is the USA in a nutshell. And There's no doubt in my mind, and I really feel sorry for Thailand now, because every other team in that bracket has to annihilate them to kind of keep up with the U.S.'s goal aggregate. I mean, that team's going to go home, and they're never going to touch a soccer ball again. Mission accomplished, I guess, huh? Mission accomplished. I also wanted to take a quick moment here to say all our best here to Minnesota Supreme Court Associate Justice David Lillehog, who has been diagnosed with Parkinson's, has announced he is going to leave the Minnesota Supreme Court. I've loved my 6 years of work on the court, and I plan to serve for a few more years, but my plan has changed because I have Parkinson's disease. It's an early stage. It's well managed. I feel great. He is doing what I consider, this is my personal feeling, I think it's the right thing. He is stepping down. He is going to go over and spend his time traveling with his wife and his kids, and he's going to go do that. And all my best to you, sir, as your family deals with this. And it sounds like, once again, it's being managed well. But as you go through this, all my best to you and your family. This obviously does mean that Governor Tim Walz will have his first Supreme Court appointment coming up here before too long. We'll have to see how that goes. Who he chooses for that. I would not be surprised if it's someone from the first district. I would absolutely not. Someone in Rochester area, I could easily see that. Easily see that. So we'll have to see how that goes there. Oh, and I also wanted to make sure I mentioned, oh, it's always so nice to talk about Doug Wardlow. Wardlow! Where's Wardlow? The piece, former GOP Attorney General candidate Doug Wardlow faces a fine of more than $46,000 after exceeding the state's spending limit in the heated race against Attorney General Keith Ellison. Wardlow's expenses in the race were supposed to top out at $864,072. However, the Republican candidate campaign ended up spending about $910,490 over 2 years, according to the Campaign Finance and Disclosure Board documents. Ruh-roh. You're going to get fined. Got it. You see, he's got to do that math. I know you Republicans hate math. I know you hate it, especially when it comes to economics, because you guys don't seriously factor math into any of your economic plans. But I'm just going to let you know, former Attorney General candidate, $910,490 is indeed more than $864,072. FYI. It's a simple math. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. When we do come on back, I will say this, the fire has been lit under the Democrats when they found out about this rapist parental rights issue from City Pages. We'll talk about that when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chuchke, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
We are awake.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Hi, Matt McNeil here, and I love Rudy Luther because I love my Toyota Sienna, but I keep going back because of Luther's top-notch customer service. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle, which in turn makes me and many others loyal Rudy Luther customers. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Catch New Beginnings with Freddie Bell, Saturdays at 11 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. By the way, I do want to remind people that Father's Day coming up here on Sunday. And the Park Tavern has got their Father's Day barbecue buffet coming up here on Sunday. You can stop on by. They've got all the barbecue favorites, the ribs, all the grilled favorites, all the burgers, all the fixins. They've got desserts. Dad gets a pint of beer, a T-shirt, and an hour of bowling for everyone involved there with the Father's Day. It's just a great way to do it. I did it with my kids. You should do it with yours as well. ParkTavern.net, ParkTavern.net for more information on how you can enjoy Father's Day with the Park Tavern. Ooh la la. So I want to say thank you to Todd Colid, who sponsors AM 950. You can sponsor us as well, 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. Todd has – he's got a band called Just Folk. Grounded is their fourth CD. It is out now. I've got links to it on Bandcamp. We've been giving away copies of the CD, and let's give away a copy right now, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, caller number three. Caller number three, you'll win a copy of the CD. Good luck, 952-946-6205. Now, we talked yesterday about the City Pages story where they talked about a woman in Alabama told rape crisis advocate Portia Shepherd she's been assaulted by her step-uncle when she was just 15, had since brought their child to term. Now her step-uncle is poised to get out of jail after a drug conviction, and he wants to be part of the family again. In Alabama, that's totally possible. Alleged rapists can get visitation rights or even custody of the children conceived by their actions, a situation Shepherd called the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Alabama is only one of two states without a law terminating parental rights in the case of rape. The other is Minnesota. And as a matter of fact, we actually started asking the question yesterday. So, like, if a person, a child or a girl or a woman gets raped, they decide to take the conceived child to term and put it up for adoption, do they have to go to the rapist and get the rapist to sign off on this? How – my God. We talked about how Representative John Purcell tried to change this back in 2016, but that bill went nowhere apparently because the Republicans didn't think that was important. But the Minnesota state senator plans to revive the push for the state to give the state the ability to terminate the parental rights of alleged rapist, ending a seldom used loophole that has been closed in every other state save one, Alabama. Senator Kerry Zaitzik, I think is how you say it, Zaitzik, is Minneapolis. Tuesday she said intends to press for changes in the next year's session of the legislature, reviving one of the several proposals that have failed by the wayside over the years. She said that she'll likely count on renewed focus on the issue after the recent Washington Post article about Alabama and Minnesota. Her effort comes after Minnesota lawmakers recently approved a task force to examine the state's sexual assault laws to make it easier to investigate and prosecute rape cases. The legislature also recently removed special legal protections for spouses and domestic partners accused of sexual assault. So this is a good thing. Now, it should be mentioned, I do want to take a quick moment and mention that they're also right now, Governor Walz today, seeing some of the coverage of this, was having an insulin roundtable out there that was going on. And a friend of the show, Quinn Nystrom, showed up over there, was talking about this. This is a direct quote from Quinn. "I don't have this. I'm dead." Talking about insulin and price ranging from $300 to $400 a vial of this. I should be reminded that Republicans, they themselves, the Republicans in the Senate, killed the Emergency Insulin Act. And anyone that dies from here until the point they get off their lazy asses, their corrupt asses, and pass the Insulin Act is on their heads. It is. That is people, they have said, "You're poor, you should die." And I'm surprised they didn't cackle in laughter when they said it. Well, when their actions said what they said. The reality is that we have legitimate problems here. And Republicans, get off your cabooses. My God, what is wrong with you people? Is everything a negotiation technique? Well, the rapist wants to have visitation rights to the child they conceived with the 13-year-old they raped. Well, unless we get a concession on taxes, we're not going to pass that. Oh, wait. Emergency insulin? Well, unless we get a concession on taxes for wealthy people and corporations, we're not going to consider that. Seriously, what in the heck is wrong with you people? What in the world is wrong with you people? I am flabbergasted that this law exists. And what it is exactly that, is that Republicans don't look at anything as charity. Reminder, remember when we had the employment benefits for the people on the Iron Range expiring, and the Republicans demanded a tax cut for wealthy people before they take care of the needy people on the Iron Range? I remember that. And even after they got their tax cut, there was a ton of Republicans that voted against giving those workers up in the Iron Range extended benefits. All they had to do was open up the fund that had been set up for that the exact situation. And the Republicans refused to do it. There are 17, if I remember correctly, 17 Republicans. This is who they are. They are not Christians. They are not. When they come on out with their Bible and they talk about how Jesus guides me, no, he doesn't. No. Jesus has nothing to do with you people. Guys on the far right, you only worship one thing, money, and namely the money that you can try to get from large corporations and wealthy people for either campaign donations or the paycheck when you become a lobbyist for them. And so nothing, you always look at everything in the guise of what is this going to do for me? And here you have a case like the Emergency Insulin Act. And it's not about you. It's about saving people who are going to die. But you, because you're such warped, broken people, you don't even see how horrible you are when you stop that. Or when someone comes out like Purcell and says, you know what, we need to make sure rapists don't have parental custody rights on the child conceived via their rape. And you're like, well, wait a minute here. I don't know. I don't see how that's going to give us advance our cause any. And that is who you are. You're broken people. You can't help Minnesotans. And if you are voting Republican, you're a fool. They're not. If you make less than $1 million a year, the Republican Party in Minnesota does not care about you. And we have case after case after case of this. They just do not. And I'll tell you what, I get so damn tired of these people on the right and their lack of work. And their lack of integrity, their lack of anything. One final thing here, because we're going to get to Stein here on the back half hour. I want to criticize the Star Tribune. Now, it wasn't that long ago that we talked about Representative Jamie Becker Finn getting threatened, you know, verbally and physically assaulted. I would consider it a physical assault by Representative Tony Jurgens in the Minnesota House. Following a roll call vote, an amendment regarding child custody on the legislative day of April 29, 2019, Representative Tony Jurgens angrily struck his desk. The sound can be heard on the video recording of the proceedings. Jurgens then walked off the House floor to the retiring room. Upon entering the retiring room, Representative Jurgens approached Representative Jamie Becker Finn. Representative Becker Finn was seated at the table watching the floor proceedings on a television with her back towards Jurgens. Jurgens stood quietly for a few feet behind Becker Finn for a few seconds and then moved aggressively towards her. Towards Representative Becker Finn. Jurgens then slammed his hand down the table with the force causing a loud bang and startling Representative Becker Finn and others in the room. Jurgens hit the table with enough force that the sound can be heard on the House chamber. Jurgens then leaned across the table towards Becker Finn, making eye contact and angrily stated, I'm glad you think this is funny, ostensibly in reaction to the outcome of the vote on the previous amendment regarding child custody. A staff person then intervened and ushered Jurgens away from Becker Finn. Jurgens did this. Star Tribune hasn't even freaking talked about this. But you know what headline they got on their paper today? Dock dispute on Leech Lake puts businessman versus former Retality TV star from YZ. because they think that's news. And I imagine it's clickbait. But if you want more proof that the Star Tribune is broken, one of their top stories is a Leech Lake dock dispute between some business guy and some washed-up reality TV show host. And that is a priority. A congresswoman being threatened in the House by a Republican congressman. No, we're not going to cover that. But a dock dispute? Whoa! I see your paper that gets delivered every morning in my neighborhood. Not to me, but I see it gets delivered out there. It looks like a freaking pamphlet. I understand you got nothing left in this, but for God's sakes, if you have any journalistic integrity left, freaking find it, you losers. 952-946-6205. God, the Star Tribune sucks. 952-946-6205. But it's a dock dispute on Leech Lake. When we do return, Jeff Stein will join us. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
There's still time to get great Father's Day gifts at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. Like your choice of a Cabela's multi-tool or small folding knife, 2 for $10. Save 35% on Redhead Copper Creek cargo shorts. And save $80 on Leupold McKenzie 10x42 binoculars. For store locations and more great gift ideas, visit BassPro.com and Cabela's.com. With free two-day shipping, Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. Your adventure starts here.
Hey, this is your favorite producer, Eric. I'm here with Hunter, your other favorite producer. And we've got a new show on Saturdays at 7 p.m.
So tune in for Mission Accomplishers, the podcast-broadcast hybrid hosted by the fellas.
You'd be amazed at what we can accomplish. We'd love for you to check it out and subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
What missions have we accomplished?
We're working on it.
So tune in every Saturday at 7 p.m. for Mission Accomplishers and find out.
I put the program in place to protect the country.
Burger Mo's gorgeous patio is open for the season. Enjoy nightly happy hours, more than 60 beers on tap, and the weather while you watch your favorite game on the outdoor screen. And don't miss live music Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Offering 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, Burger Mo's also offers delicious appetizers, soups, salads, as well as unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. Conquer the road trip family vacation. It's easy with a Toyota Sienna. The trick to road trips is to not get exhausted, and as a man who's been behind the wheel for 16-hour days, the Toyota Sienna makes those days comfortable. Roomy, relaxing, and a treat to drive, it makes the long day's drive easy. Highway driving, city driving, or country driving, you'll make it a memorable trip with a Toyota Sienna. And it fits all your gear! Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
No matter what your taste, you'll find the music you're looking for at the Electric Fetus. Pick from rock, pop, international, roots music, and so much more on CD and vinyl. Or create your own compilation of favorites with the exclusive Mix and Burn CD station, only available at the Electric Fetus. Dust off your vinyl or just make some space by turning your unwanted music into cash. The used selection changes daily, so check out the new arrivals often. 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Hawes. Today, partly sunny with a high near 67. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 48. And Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 70. This Father's Day, be sure to check out one of EatLocalMinnesota.com's fantastic local restaurants located here in the Twin Cities. Your choice of setting, from casual to trendy. Great spots for date nights, evenings with friends, or business occasions. Make sure that the money you spend stays local. Find out more at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Indeed, Father's Day this weekend. EatLocalMinnesota.com. All the restaurants featured this week. Go to EatLocalMinnesota.com for more information. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You can find his books at Next Chapter Books in St. Paul. TotallyIowa.com as well. IowaWatch.org is his public service show that he has down in Iowa. And he joins us from KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hi, Jeff. How are you, my friend?
Matthew, not as good as you, but I keep trying.
Well, I appreciate it. Although I still think that we need to get your glasses fixed. All right. How about we start with breaking news? Howard Schultz, the Starbucks billionaire, is apparently putting his campaign on hold for the summer and laying off staff. He looks like he might be the first casualty in the campaign for 2020.
Well, and I'm not sure, did he ever officially announce that he was really, really running? I think he got as far as the exploratory committee. The key on Schultz is that he said, I'm running as an independent. And he was immediately told, if you do that, you're going to reelect the president. And he immediately started saying, well, I certainly won't do that. And so this looks like, you know, the graceful way to say, A, I'm spending way too much of my kids' inheritance on this foolish endeavor. And B, you cannot have two general election candidates against an incumbent and expect to win.
Well, now that you say that, it is interesting, the Quinnipiac poll that came on now, which is another thing I want to actually talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at it, things have definitely gotten bad for Trump. Now, he still is pulling, 41%. That's pretty much, you know, his max level in these polls. Now, and I think nationally, when they factor in all people in the country, they're feeling that his popularity is somewhere around 36-37% of the country. So that kind of factors out when you do this polling stuff. So, sure. but you know, so you're looking at his poll numbers are showing that he's at 40-41%. Meanwhile, what was initially only Biden, Sanders, O'Rourke, and Elizabeth Warren leading him, now a good chunk of the Democratic Party, when factored into head-to-head, is leading him. Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Buttigieg, I believe is in there as well. There are multiple candidates. And right now it's not looking like any of the front runners are really, you know, going to be too much of a question on whether they can beat Trump. As of right now, they're all getting pretty good leads. Starting with the Trump side of this, are we just seeing what was inevitable, that you can basically have loyalty, but primarily through his trade policies in the Midwest and what can only be described as broken promises of jobs returning and stuff like this, and the tax increase that happened for most Americans? I just think that the shine is wearing off and you are starting to see some level of attrition of Trump fans.
Well, you and I have talked for 2 years about the fact that those who supported this president in the 2016 election would do so until they had to make a choice and had another alternative. In other words, they were not going to abandon him based on nothing, right? But once there is another election, once there is a choice, this person you voted for before or any host of other individuals – that's when you might see the erosion, right? Because you don't have to make a choice till you have to make a choice. I'm a little skeptical about national polls unless what they are doing is saying, let's go state by state and then count up electoral college votes. Because remember where Trump was in October of 2016. The math in individual states had to fall just right. And so that's the first thing that I look at. You know, let's not jump into words like landslide, because we don't elect a president by popular vote. We do by the Electoral College. That all said, is a caveat. That's just to, I want to temper the enthusiasm a little bit. The fact that you can name Democrats who are barely polling 1% in Iowa as opposed to other Democrats, but yet they would beat the president in an election. 2020 is going to be all about electability. It is going to be the Democrats deciding who their nominee is based upon who's got the best chance to win the White House. And the fact that so many of these individuals show up very favorably against the incumbent, that is the jolt that some of those campaigns needed. Because if their best claim is electability, that's the claim that's going to win. And look at what the folks at – and they've got so many sponsors on this. It's the Your Name Here Iowa poll anymore. Okay, it's CNN and MediaCom and the Des Moines Register and Zippy's Rib Shack and I don't know.
Oh, Zippy's. I love Zippy's.
It's, you know, and they give you the moist towelettes, which is necessary. But the
It smells like Elizabeth Warren. Anyway. Oh,
wow. By the way, have you shared with the audience the walk-up themes that these folks use?
No, really?
Have okay, I will send that to you. The short of it is today's Iowa Politics Report, shameless plug. I talk about some of these candidates and their walk-up music that they use Sunday in Cedar Rapids. Elizabeth Warren decided that the theme from the motion picture 9 to 5 fit her the best, which led to a whole lot of bad Jane Fonda memes. But let's move back to the topic at hand, which I probably forgot. No, it's a matter of the Iowa poll came out the day before that Democrat event. Okay, the Democratic Party of Iowa, Iowa Democratic Party Hall of Fame dinner. 19 of the 23 candidates showed up. And so they released a poll the night before, and it basically showed that only six had anything above 5%. Everybody else was mired at 1%. Well, that's a devastating blow if you're Beto O'Rourke or Cory Booker or any number of people. But the polls, these national polls that talk about electability, that's the oxygen you need to free up some fundraising dollars to decide, do I continue to push in Iowa? So far, the answer is yes. Yeah. Or do I say, you know what? I'll go see you in New Hampshire. However many of you are left after Iowa, I'll join you in New Hampshire. And that's not a bad secondary strategy for some of these folks.
Well, and the real winner is Iowa broadcasters who will get inundated with ads at this point. Going back
not
to
enough. For, sitting in a studio that would like to see revenues go up, not enough of them. But.
Going back to Trump here, I mean, really, I think this is the reason why so many Republicans were screaming, do not start another trade war with Mexico. Arizona, Texas. Particularly, those are two states that the Republicans have to have. And this trade war is wildly unpopular in both of those states. And so this idea that he's just on a whim, and he did it, let's be honest, he did it to try to get Mueller off the front pages. I'm going to impose new tariffs on Mexico, got everyone scrambling to get Mueller off the front page. But the reality is that when even the Senate Republicans are like, no, we are not going to do this again. Plus, then you add in the fact that Wisconsin, I do not think, is going to fall the same way again. And Michigan, especially if he goes after Amish, who's still pretty popular in that state, like he's promising to go after him. And Pennsylvania, which has been a mess for the Republicans ever since Trump got elected. I think that they're seeing that this is going to be a tough enough fight as it is. You don't need to take two jewels from the Republican crown in Arizona and Texas and put them into play.
Absolutely right. And again, your analysis is spot on, except for the fact that nobody thought it would go the way it did in 2016. And so I'm just so nervous about so many of these states until you get far closer. You're right. That's the map. In order for Trump to win again, he's got to hold that base, right? He's got to hold those states. And there aren't that many. We talked about this some months ago. There aren't that many that are that much different. And so in one respect, you'd say, well, if he won the state in 2016, then he should win it again in 2020. Well, if 2016 was the aberration, you pretty quickly – I mean, he's either going to win by the skin of his teeth in 2020 or it's a landslide the other way. Mm-hmm. Just because, again, for the very states that you mentioned. This Mexico tariff thing, to me, in hindsight, was nothing more than a sham to get them to do something that they just weren't wrapping the bow on already. For months, the administration had been talking with the Mexican officials about all of the things that they've now agreed would happen. And when it didn't happen quickly enough, he said, okay, if you don't do something – now, again, nobody knew there were these conversations. He says, if you don't do something, I'm going to throw a tariff on. That brought them to the table to wrap up the last 1%. So in other words,
I'm going to correct you on that, because the Mexicans themselves have come on out and said, we had already agreed. This is not like it was in negotiations. They actually had agreements in place months and months ago. The only thing they added in was they made the decision themselves without the U.S. involved to offer more humanitarian aid and potential training and other things for the immigrants that are in Mexico. But that was more of an internal in-house thing. Trump had said that there's going to be a massive increase in ag. That didn't exist. He keeps promising that there's going to be this super secret, super deal that he keeps waving a piece of paper in everyone's house. There doesn't exist. I mean, the Mexicans themselves said all this had happened. I actually think it's different. I think he put this out there to get Mueller off the front page. And when the British tour blew up in his face and it didn't take the Mexican thing off the table, then all of a sudden he came back here and they had to save face. So they went back to look at these old trade agreements and rebranded them in an attempt to make it look like there was something new.
We're not that far apart. I mean, what I'm suggesting is there was stuff going along all along, and it wasn't either public or wrapped up or complete. And so then came this hollow threat to just force the issue to get it announced publicly. And so this is we were supposed to be led to believe that by this threat, people showed up for the first time and hammered out this agreement. I mean, that was what they were hoping would be the narrative. That got blown out of the water right away, mm-hmm. right? I mean, there's no way that, you know, these had been going on 4 months. There had been agreements, all of it just exactly as you say. But I say that he was using that as a way to push the calendar at the very least, all right? And it's, again, the sort of thing where if he starts believing his own narrative, namely, I use tariffs, therefore I got my way, which we already know is a false narrative, but let's just go with that. What's to say he's not going – and this is the concern that many in the agricultural part of America, this is the concern they have, both parties, doesn't matter. If he thinks tariffs were the way to get things done with Mexico, if again he believes his narrative that it did, then he's bound to use it every single time he wants to do something. And I guarantee you the Chinese have a different culture, a different government, a different philosophy than the Mexican government. So the same strategy that in that narrative worked with regard to Mexico, it's not going to work with China. And the fear in rural America that I sense is, well, all right, we dodged a bullet on this one, but if he thinks that he's empowered to keep doing it because it worked, then we're going to have a real problem, because then there's a full absence of reality.
Well, and I look at it more. I think what had happened is he was desperate to save face after the Republican senators said there's no way over our dead body we're going to do this again. And so it feels far more like a 4-year-old soccer game that got rained out so everyone gets a medal anyway, because it's and that sort of thing. And this attempt to make it seem like, see, you're the winner. I'm not sure. I will say this, and I would love to get your thoughts on this. When you talk – going back to Trump and the numbers – We have seen the last four presidents that were two-termers. Reagan was fairly popular when he got reelected, I think a year out beforehand. I mean, there were some questions, but he was still – I mean, I didn't see him not being at least competitive. You look at Clinton. He was – even though he had his problems, he was still looking like he was going to win fairly easily. W was a little closer, and I would also say Obama was, but still they weren't – outnumbered like this. I have not in my lifetime, I can't remember a time where an incumbent was running this poorly on their numbers. Even Carter, when he lost, was still relatively close. It was that whole Iran-Contra thing that really kind of hurt him at the very end. And so when
You said Iran-Contra and you meant Iran hostage.
Iran hostage, yes.
Yeah, I don't want to besmirch President Carter with Iran-Contra.
Well, and also in H.W. Bush, he got in trouble because of the read my lips line, and that just got – that played against him. I can't remember a guy a year out having this bad of polling numbers going into it. I mean, when was the last time you remember someone like that and then coming back and winning?
Well, and here's the – this is not a satisfying answer. By the way, check, because I think the House has just – or a House committee has voted to hold the Attorney General and Commerce Secretary in contempt. So that'll change your narrative for the day. I just saw that come through the last couple of minutes. The distinction from a historical standpoint, everything you laid out is true, but I am curious as to how many people voted in 2016 who are not traditional voters, as in not regular predictable voters, and how many of them might show up a second time. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole thing that makes the Trump era so different, all right? Because we keep talking about traditional Republicans and Democrats, And by that, I'm not talking about very narrow. I mean, the Democrats have a very broad field running for president. And I say that not just because there's 23 of them, but you have a pretty wide philosophical spectrum there. But yet, you know, they're Democrats, all right, with the possible exception of Senator Sanders, but he clearly is trying to remake the party and doubling down on that, and others are following. This is different because, again, the Trump phenomenon and the people who voted who didn't vote before in certain states, and are they going to come back? And so I would concur. If you look historically, you don't come back from this kind of a deficit.
Mm-hmm.
But I also remember that H.W. Bush had sky-high approval ratings a year before his election. The economy cratered and he lost.
Mm-hmm.
And again, on paper, you wouldn't have seen it. So my only thought is there are 23 Democrats, and I'm not convinced we're done, but 23 Democrats who think the tea leaves lay out in favor of a Democrat, therefore why not them? That is absolutely accurate. I'm just saying, you know, nobody ought to be measuring for drapes in the Oval yet.
Well, and it's twofold, because not only do you have to have the Trump voters that show up again, but you have to have that 110 million registered voters who didn't vote stay at home again. And as we saw in 2018, I don't know if that's going to be a pretty big reversal if that does happen.
That's fair.
Jeff Stein joining us. We'll take a break. Come back. I want to talk quickly. We'll get into that breaking news, but the census stuff. I don't know where Trump thinks he's going to go with that, because I think we all know what's going on with that census stuff. But we'll talk about the fact that he has basically told them that not to give the stuff to the House and Senate. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. On June 16th, say thanks, Dad, with the Park Tavern. From 11 until 2, it's the Father's Day Barbecue Buffet. St. Louis-style ribs, barbecue chicken, grilled burgers with all the fixings, corn, watermelon, all the sides, and dessert, too. Dad gets a free pint of beer and a T-shirt, and there's an hour of free bowling with your reservation. $20.95 for adults, $14.95 for seniors, $10.95 for kids, and 5 and under are free. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, on June 16th, say I love you, Dad, with the Father's Day Barbecue Buffet at the Park Tavern.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Pride Weekend is almost here, and there is something for everyone. From the Friday Night Beer Dabbler on the 21st, featuring 50 local brewers, to Pride in Concert on Saturday, June 22nd in Loring Park with the headliner TLC. And you can't forget about the Rainbow Run leading into the Ashley Rooks Pride Parade on Sunday, June 23rd. This is a festival and celebration you do not want to miss. Get your tickets now. VIP is still available with free food and drinks. Go to tcpride.org. That's tcpride.org. We'll see you there.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years' experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, I should mention, Karen in Richfield was the winner of our Todd Colin CD. Enjoy that CD there, Karen. We'll have one more to give away tomorrow here on AM 950. Jeff Stein is joining us. We're talking national politics. The White House ordered Bill Barr, Wilbur Ross to not hand over census information about the inclusion of a citizenship question on the 2020 census. And now, as a matter of fact, yes, House Oversight Committee holds Bill Barr and Wilbur Ross in contempt for stonewalling the census investigation, which is their right to do. The problem that the White House has is the story, I think it's out of North Carolina, of the Republican insider who basically wrote all about the fact that this is about racism. This is about stopping, you know, the census question will stop the minorities from responding, henceforth hurt Democrats. It will help Republicans. We now know this because his daughter, after he died, got all the hard drives and all the stuff from his documents and handed it over to investigators. Needless to say, it's we know that is where this all came from now. So there's not a real big mystery, yet still the White House is trying to play a game where they're trying to keep this hidden. And unless the Supreme Court basically says, okay, the entire Constitution needs to be thrown out, there's no way in the world they're going to be able to stop it, correct?
Well, you might get 5-4 vote on that some days. But I'm going to go a little rogue on you with this one. And I think that this is an attempt by the Trump administration lawyers to test some theories on executive privilege in court on matters that really don't matter and just get a sense of how the courts are feeling and what the arguments are going to be before they invoke it in something that really matters. Because, for example, we used to have these questions in the census, sort of, then we didn't. And it's clear whether you have the smoking gun documents or not, it has to do with disparate impact. This may be a facially neutral change in questions, but if it has the disparate impact, the discriminatory impact of people not participating, the court doesn't need the smoking gun. Does it help? Sure. But the point is that I think what they're doing is they're going to test the waters of executive privilege, daring the Democrats to fight, see what the courts do, not caring a whit about the census, but using it as a framework for something later that might be more nefarious that they do care about.
Well, and then let's bring in the other subject into this. Okay, say you're a judge. Mm-hmm. You finally, some of these cases come to your lap February, March of next year, when it's clear, say, Trump is running only 36%, and it's clear that he's going to need a miracle to get a reelection. Does it start crossing your mind that the standards you're setting could be for, if you are a Republican judge, and let's just call it what it is, Republican judge, that you're setting a standard that could end up hurting you in the long run because a Democratic president might be able to use your ruling against your party trying to investigate them?
No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, a good judge will be able to first they should set aside the partisanship, but secondly, they certainly could recognize the impact. Absolutely would recognize the impact because of the stare decisis and precedent means you follow that precedent. And, you know, it's what's good for the goose is good for the gander. We've seen it over and over in the U.S. Senate, which has a different set of rules that they just change on a whim. But to your point, of course, you're going to get a judge who may be of a more conservative bent, who's going to issue a ruling in a fact-based case that's going to be precedent for other fact-based cases, and it's a trap. Absolutely is.
Well, and when you look at it, if it looks like Trump is going to lose, and there is a leadership vacuum at the top of that Republican Party right now, you know, the question then is, who am I loyal to? If I'm loyal to the party, I got to think about what's best for the party because this is starting to look like the Whigs all over again at that point. Once again, Jeff Stein, Next Chapter Books, you'll find his books over there. I will get that Iowa Politics Report posted up for everyone to listen to a little bit later on. Okay, Jeff?
And I will send you the full list. And I'm so glad you got a Whig reference.
It's the Whigs, man. They were wow. All right. Jeff, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Yeah. Have a good afternoon. Hunter's in next. We are back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.